Imagine a world in which post-traumatic stress no longer robs from millions who suffer.
You don't want to get help because you're embarrassed. You don't want to tell people the dark stuff that you've went through.
That stigmatism of you can't talk to people is so true.
Post-traumatic stress is not a disorder. It's an injury that can be healed quickly so that those who suffer get back to thriving in their families, communities, and mission.
And I said, I don't want to live this trauma again. Yeah. And he goes, You don't have to. Yeah. And I said, What?
The experts, they forgot to tell me I can heal. I didn't know that I can get rid of PTSD.
Each week, we tell a skeptical world what is possible with stories of those who have successfully cured their trauma.
I just remember being able to stand by the water and look up at the sky and hear the noises, and I didn't think they were gunshots. I was like, those are Disney fireworks.
I don't even know what to imagine for myself now, my future, because I have one.
This is Life After PTSD. On today's episode of Life After PTSD, we welcome a professional painter who had an accident falling off a 12-foot ladder, laying in shock, and 9 surgeries later. Here now to tell his story, and this is going to be an amazing episode. With me, as always, Carrie Russo. My name is Jeff McLaughlin, your host, and we have some cool people here today. Darren and Robin, how are you?
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Cool. So, guys, I'm excited because I have not heard Darren's full story. I literally have the bullet points, and Carrie often does this to me, where we get on a show, we start recording, and I kind of get to hear like raw and uncut, effectively, right?
Because that's what he likes to do. He likes to hear it.
It's true.
And can I say one thing?
Yeah,
it was a 16-foot ladder, 12 feet up.
Oh, there we go. Okay, got it. All right. Cool.
And now Darren is my very best friend because he corrected Jeff. All right. Thank you. That's awesome.
I've been put in my place. All right. Darren, it's about time somebody came on the show and put me in my place. Trust me. Okay. It needed to happen a long time ago. So anyway, and plus I just called Robin Mrs. Darren too, and I got corrected for that. This is going so well so far. So anyway, welcome everybody. Hey, let's turn it over. Carrie, I want you to kind of take over and you get things started because you've been working with Darren and doing some things there. So why don't we tell me where the story needs to begin for the good of the audience.
The first thing... You also know that Jim has been working with him.
So okay, once again, I've been
corrected. I don't want to take all the credit.
I'll tell you what, I can't work under these conditions, so I'm just going to walk out of here. And Carrie, why don't you take over? And ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to the new host of Life After PTSD, Carrie Russo.
Yes, because I can edit out all of my foibles.
Yeah, until you call me afterwards. Hey, we're done recording. Can you edit it? No, I'm not doing that.
I did that once. This would be the best one. I think that Robin could start this story, or Darren. I mean, Darren, can you tell what happened?
Sure. It was a July 30th, 2018, early morning. As I was, setting up the ladder, there was like dew on the ladder. And as I was going up the ladder, what had happened was, as I was climbing the ladder, just, doing my job, as I climbed the ladder, my hands had slipped from the ladder. So I started falling backwards. As I was falling backwards, I noticed that the wall that was from me to the ladder, there was only one way down, and it was falling either on my back or kicking my legs to the ladder wall, to the wall. And that way I can, maneuver a different way, my body a different way. So as I did that, my body landed on the ground one way and my foot landed a different way. And that shattered my tibia and fibia and just bone out the side, As I fell, all I could think of was, did this just really happen? And I just kept saying that over and over again. And as the lady came outside to figure out what was going on, she had came out and passed out just from looking at my foot. And so when the neighbor came over, she kept rubbing my back, and all I kept saying over and over again, did this just really happen? Soon after, I'd say probably about maybe 7 to 8 minutes after, I was on the phone with my wife, called her, explained to her what happened. I don't think she actually believed what I was telling her at the time because she was kind of joking around a little bit.
Well, because as bad as you were saying it was, I can imagine.
Yeah, he called and said, I just fell off the ladder and my bone's sticking out of my leg. And I'm like at my office waiting for him to come and meet me like within a half an hour, an hour. And I'm like, are you serious? Nuh-uh. For real? Yeah. My leg. Yeah, the bone's sticking out. And you could hear the nervousness, but somewhat calm. So I'm like, okay, luckily I was 12 minutes away. I'm like, I'm on my way. I'll be right there. And he hangs up the phone and I'm like, wait, I need to know what's going on. So I called back and the wife of and the homeowner that was there with him said, yeah, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll come get him and take him to the hospital. And she's like, we've already called the ambulance and you just get here. And when I got there, they had him on the stretcher. He's sweating and his legs wrapped up totally. So I couldn't see it. And he seemed very calm, you know, nervous, but calm. And I followed him to the hospital and that's where it all began after that.
And might I say that I had no pain at the time. I was just so in shock that I felt no pain. And I was sitting there in the hospital on this table for hours. We're not talking about for, you know, just a couple of hours. It must have been, what, 4 hours, Robin? Yeah, must have been 4 hours.
Once they got him there, and the bad part was, is I'm following the ambulance, no lights and sirens. We get within 5 minutes of the hospital, the lights and sirens come on. So here I am like, oh, my God. Well, I guess he had passed out. They had to use those smelling salts to wake him back up. They pulled into the ambulance bay. I'm sitting at the valet trying to drop off my car. Nobody's there. They're wheeling him in. And with his anxiety already as a different condition prior to this, I'm like, he can't be back there by himself. He's not going to know what medicine he's on. He's not going to know, you know, I got to be there. And so for me, it was, you know, trying because I'm like, I need to be there to help him. He needs me. So luckily they were very accommodating up front and he was back there maybe 5 minutes by himself. They pulled me in and they unwrapped his leg and there he sat for 4 hours, bone exposed, open, laying on the stretcher in the emergency room, in the trauma bay. And he was still very calm and they really hadn't medicated him or anything, but he was just calm because he couldn't feel it. They said the bone doesn't have pain like that. And so then the doctor came over and said, yeah, you know, we're going to get it cleaned up and we're going to CAT scan or x-ray it. So once that happened, then the pain kicked in because they reset the bone in as best they could and wrapped it. Then there was pain and, they wound up telling us, well, we'll wait till tomorrow to go in for surgery. And I'm thinking, how is that going to be? And after the CAT scan results came back, they immediately took him into surgery to put the fixator on because the swelling was getting so bad and they needed to keep the bone in shape and in place for him.
Darren, real quick, the first question that kind of comes to mind here is you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
Right? How many years have you been up until the point of the accident?
33 years.
Goodness gracious. So never had an incident, never. I mean, this is like in your unconscious programming, the ability to get up on a 16-foot ladder, paint. This is old hat to you, right?
I mean,
this
yes.
is, yeah. And so first of all, I can also imagine too, Robin, where you're coming from about the phone call in shock, because we would expect that the average person would just be screaming and writhing pain right on the phone call. So when he's very casually, you know, like in that sort of shock state going, yeah, I broke a bone. It's sticking out of my leg. I can get where you'd be coming right. from. On
Absolutely.
That.
I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Until she gets on the phone and goes, yep. I'm like,
Then it all switches over.
He's been on a 40-foot ladder.
Yeah.
So for him, 2-3 stories high is no big deal.
Yeah. Being up on ladders is like comfortable for me.
Yeah.
And so I feel comfortable on ladders. And that day after changed me to the point now where they scare me. And I've never been scared on a ladder in my life. Just knowing the fact that I climbed the ladder yesterday and went up probably a good 18 feet, probably twice over from where I fell from that day of July 30th, 2018, early morning. And as I was climbing the ladder, I felt comfortable till I got to the top of the roof line. And then as soon as I looked up over and looked on the roof, I kind of like didn't freeze, but just got scared. There was a moment, I'd say about a year ago, we were hanging Christmas lights for the first time that I've been on a ladder. I couldn't make it up probably 4 feet. I froze 4 feet on a ladder. 4 feet.
After you've been going up, 16 feet? Yes. Well, even higher.
What's the highest ladder that you've ever been on doing a painting job? If you had to remember.
Probably about a
40-foot ladder, I think.
40-foot ladder, somewhere around there.
And no issue?
No issues.
And actually, before you tell this part of the story, because I know this part, let me go back, let me backtrack a little bit and say, in July 2018, when this happened, the thought of going on a ladder after that was non-existent. I mean, you couldn't even walk. You didn't even know if you were going to keep your foot.
Right.
Right. You know, Robin works for Accelerated Resolution Therapy.
Well, Rosenzweig Center for Rapid Recovery, and we do the training for Accelerated Resolution Therapy. And I just knew the strength and the positiveness that that does for people, that these therapists have learned it can help these clients way more than most other therapies. And I saw him struggling after the surgeries, and it was probably a few months after the surgery or after the accident. And he came to me and he was like, oh my God, I just had a nightmare. And he was shivering and shaking and just totally freaking out. And I'm like, I'm calling Carrie. She needs to come here. No. Darren, we need this. You need this because you need to be able to sleep. You need to be more comfortable. Because he couldn't walk. He couldn't move. So luckily she came and met with him. They did an art session. And he never had another nightmare after that.
And I might add before this that is most important. As we were doing this, I had nightmares. And as I was having these nightmares, I was actually peeing the bed. That's how
grown trauma, man who doesn't
trauma
do that.
That this was, that I was actually visualizing me climbing the ladder, going up the ladder, falling off the ladder, waking up. And I'm like, honey, I can't believe this. I mean, I've never done this since I was a kid. I mean, what's going on here? That's when she decided to call Carrie, and that was the last straw. I mean, it was just, it was a sad.
Darren, just curious, because I think that a lot of people that have trauma and have gone through situations, you know, whether it's something like you or whatever, you know, might have this question, and maybe this is a great permission you can give to the audience and everything. You know, what were your hesitations prior to just doing some therapy work or whatever? Was, you know, because it sounds like there was a bit of resistance until you sort of got to that point. So just curious, what was it?
At the time, I didn't know if it would work or if it would. So when Carrie had came over to the house, she had worked with me before. And I noticed that I felt really calm and really, you know, good about the situations that we,
sure,
that we went through and the sessions that I've been through. And, but I didn't know that it would work on such a dramatic situation, such as me, you know, peeing the bed.
Yeah.
And let's face it, it's embarrassing, right?
Yes, it's embarrassing.
And that's what's so important about this story is there's so many people, and you know, Robin, because you hear it from the therapists that talk to you about situations. Most people who have been through trauma are embarrassed about their response to trauma, even though it's the body's normal natural response to something horrible happened. And so when you're having that nightmare, it's reminding you, hey, don't do this. Don't get into the situation again. And it's really scary. And so of course your body's going to react. That's normal, but nobody feels like that's normal. You know,
and
it doesn't.
Art therapy worked because when she came over, we did the session. It was only one session. I remember one session. And from then on, I didn't do it again. And so I've been clean ever since then.
Talking about the nightmares never happened. Yeah.
Nightmares. And I still think about, and I've never peed to bed again. And I, so
I think it's important because we always want to make a distinction. We get flack from time to time from some listeners who, you know, denounce what we say on the show when we talk about clearing trauma. And when we're talking about clearing trauma, we always want to be so upfront about that. We're talking about removing the traumatic emotions, the traumatic triggers and reactions and things like that that happen to an event. So a guy like Darren can no longer have, you know, nightmares, wetting the bed, et cetera. That's what we're talking about when we're clearing trauma. We're not talking about memory extinction. Okay. The memory is still there. You're telling your story right now, but all of that adverse reaction that happens with it, that a lot of people have just resigned themselves to believe that they will have the rest of their lives. And it's just, it is what it is and they'll cope with it. That's what we're talking about removing. So, you know, and Carrie, we, you know, to that point, we're always trying to be very gracious to people that have that, because that is, this is relatively new, this phenomenon of being able to work with trauma in this way. I mean, art therapy's only been around for how many years? I mean, what, 11, 10?
12 years.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of skeptics, you know, that just think, oh, it can't be and it can't be, you know, and I've seen it firsthand with him and with other people that have come to our offices that I've seen. So it definitely,
yeah,
if you want it to work and you put the work into it, you know, like Darren did, it works.
Yeah.
You know, yes, and I think his hesitation, yeah, when, to answer some of that question from before, his hesitation, sure, was, what are people going to think? What is Carrie going to think when I tell her that at, you know, 48 years old, I just pissed the bed because, yeah, I'm dreaming that I fell off a ladder. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, a normal experience. Who, yeah, cares? She doesn't care. She doesn't think about that. Yeah. She's there. You need help. I'm here to help you.
And actually, and the amazing thing is, he didn't tell me that until after we went through the process. So after we went through, and this is what we tell people all the time, you don't have to tell your story.
Never.
I don't have to know your story. But he afterwards said, do you know, I think this is going to work, but I got to tell you. And then he tells me the story after we finish.
Because it's important that I tell my whole story so people out there can understand what I'm going through. And so they don't leave out something if they want to share their story with somebody, you know, also. So they also have an insight of what I've went through and what, you know, they probably went through also.
Absolutely. So, and it is so important. It's so important to tell your story. I'm just saying, and I really appreciate you telling your story, because I remember feeling like, I remember leaving your house that day, which I don't normally go to houses, but right, I did that this day.
He couldn't travel though.
But. And I remember thinking, wow, how powerful, because the other thing you said is, not only am I having these nightmares, I don't even want to go to sleep now because the nightmare, mm-hmm, is so bad and it's, mm, so vivid. And the last thing I want to do is wake up in my own stuff,
yeah,
because I am scared. Like, it's horror. So it's not just, it was the fear, like, to go through that fear again is horrible. So to hear, I know later, I think you texted me like, no nightmares. We're good.
He's good. And he actually, you know, and I think a lot of the stuff with the ladders too, because he did, you know, Carrie worked with him, Jim's worked with him to being on the ladders, is he's comfortable on a ladder inside the house. Mm. He can go on an A-frame ladder, yeah, no problem. I'm the one going, oh, you need to be careful. On the A-frame ladder, balancing at the top, doing what he needs to do. Even outside on an A-frame ladder, he was, you know, what, 10 feet up, hanging a light outside of our front door. It's the extension ladders, mm, in a certain position. Mm. So at Christmas time, is like he was telling you, he tested it, got about 4 or 5 steps up and froze. I wasn't there. I came back and I see him sitting on the front steps, just shivering, shaking, and in tears.
Wow.
And I'm like, what just happened here? And they told me, and the guy that we have helping us, he's like, I told him not to do it. I, we got him down, and luckily we were at a doctor's house. So he kind of helped to calm him. And then after that, it's just, to me, I think it's the vision of the ladder. And that ladder was in the same position that he was when he fell. The house was shaped similar to that position with the door next to it and the wall right there. So I think a lot of that triggers it when it's that way. And so yesterday when he got on the ladder, it was set up a little bit different, but he, you know, and now the issue is with his ankle, it's very difficult to climb. So he has to take more time, but he really was very smooth with it until, like he said, he got to about the roof line. He kept looking down, reassuring, like, okay, yep, I'm really up here. And you could see him in the video, kept looking to each side to see, yeah, I'm up off the ground. Wow, oh, I'm up off the ground. I could just see it. And he got up to one point, he's like, okay, I think I'm done. I'm getting scared. He took one more step. He goes, okay. And then he climbed back down the ladder.
So how high did he get?
It was at the roof.
I was probably 18 feet up.
On the extension ladder.
On the extension, because I had a 24-foot ladder up. Okay, it was over twice as high as what I normally...
Yeah.
It was over twice high that I fell from. Easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that 16-foot ladder that I had leaning up there, it was only 12 feet up.
Well, and let's talk about that.
And I didn't fall from 12 feet.
Right.
I actually fell from probably a good 9 feet.
Yeah.
That's about where I fell from.
Yeah, yeah.
And it
Well, and let's talk about that, because that's what happens, right? You have an injury and then you have nightmares. I mean, this is the perfect, not that we want the perfect PTSD scenario, right, but it really is. It's the perfect PTSD moment. You have something happen. This is normal. Your whole life, you can go up and down ladders, not a problem, you know? And I remember one time you said, and I probably was careless on this ladder. Like, I knew I shouldn't have been up.
He has way too much confidence on them that he
right,
does.
I knew I shouldn't have been up on the ladder with dew on it. Like, I knew better. Mm. So it's not even like this would happen to me again if I'm taking normal precautions, not even being overly precautious, but just normal precautions. But it didn't matter. You were having nightmares. You didn't want to go to sleep. And then your livelihood, I mean, being able to, first of all, walk again was an issue, but then also being able to go back on a ladder. I mean, that's a I mean, you're wearing a shirt today, Pickett's painting. I mean, this was your livelihood. Like, this is what you did. And that's really normal, though, that happens to people where all of a sudden it's nightmares, but then they have we were talking about phobias earlier. They have a phobia of, you know, which is kind of an irrational fear, which I don't know that going on a ladder for you is an irrational fear because something horrible happened. But it's irrational in the sense of you've done it thousands of times,
33 years, I think I heard.
33 right? years, yes, every is, day. Yes.
33 years with no fear.
You do the math. I mean, that's thousands and thousands of times you've successfully been on a ladder, which just like people will go to a park thousands of times, but then something horrible happens. They get attacked and now they can never go to a park. You know, you then got to the point where you're like, I'm not going to get on a ladder. One of the things when we met, you said once we processed just the nightmares, that's when you talked about, you know, here's the other problem. I can't ever imagine getting on a ladder again. Like, I don't think I can ever work again. And so that was your fear. And so we worked on that a little bit then.
And I'll, you know, situation. Never be able to walk the same way as I used to ever again. And so, you know, that makes me feel less than a man in a way, somewhat.
And that's such a powerful thing to be able to say. I mean, Darren, most men can't admit that when they've had a trauma. And there's veterans and all kinds of people who have had trauma and they feel fear. And they it's hard to admit, like, wow, I feel fear. I can't go to work. I don't feel, this is not how men should feel.
And I'll never be able to climb a ladder the same way I used to. So it's all different now. I noticed that when I went up that ladder yesterday with the fear that was in me when I climbed the ladder, coming down the ladder was just like, it was different for me. It was a different feeling, just knowing that I couldn't react the way I used to coming down the ladders, going up the same way. Just kind of mind-boggling, you know, just the whole experience itself. But the therapy worked because Jim had did a session on me prior to this before, and my challenge was to go up that ladder. So it worked.
Yeah, you went up the ladder.
So I know it worked. And then you helped me. And so therapy does help. The art therapy does help. It helps me.
And what I want to do, and we're going to eventually probably, I said, let's put two ladders up. We'll go up there, and if you have that fear, we will process it out, and you'll never have that fear again. I mean, sure, you're going to walk differently up the ladder. And I think as I'm listening to you talk right now, Darren, I think part of even the fear in going up and down was the feeling of not being as agile and being able to run up and down the ladder. And that's
the restriction from the fused ankle that is causing a lot of it now. And that's his next thing to work on with the art and with Jim and so forth, is making that okay. It's okay to have a limp. It's okay to have the restrictions. You just need to adjust how you climb, how you walk, how you live your life, but it doesn't mean you can't live your life.
Totally. So in that sense, this is a bit of a complex trauma then, Carrie, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it becomes complex because all of a sudden, I mean, it's not just this happened and now I have to go to the park again. Yeah. It's I have to get my livelihood back again.
All right, that's a good moment, I think, right there to take a break. So let's hit pause here for a second, give the listeners a breather, and we'll come back even stronger after the break.
Hey, Life After PTSD listeners. We're glad that you love other stories of healing, but what about you? First Orlando Counseling is the premier trauma therapy center in Central Florida with a full staff of trained clinicians ready to help you clear your trauma without re-traumatization. Childhood abuse, relationship abuse, a traumatic car accident, birth trauma, first responder or military trauma, even phobias. You don't have to live like this. It's time for you to heal. Schedule a consultation today by visiting firstorlandocounseling.com or call 407-514-4470. It's that easy.
Here we are back having a great discussion and just ready to jump right back in. And let me also say this too, because I want to get both of y'all, like Robin, I think you and Carrie both can speak to this. You know, as a show, we've always been supportive of any memory reconsolidation techniques that clear trauma. Okay, art being one of those. All right, great technique and a lot of great clinicians out there working with it. Just so an audience member understands that, can you guys explain that art process, like maybe in the elevator pitch version of it, how it works, what it does?
I'm not a therapist of it, but just from the training side of it that we do, it helps to, the biggest difference with this or with art is the client never has to discuss that with the therapist. Mm. One, it saves the therapist from having to hear all these different traumatic things.
You're saying discuss the trauma.
They don't need to discuss the trauma. As long as they can envision it, they follow the hand of the therapist because it is an eye movement therapy.
Mm-hmm.
They see their issue and follow their hand and it gets resolved. They can go in and cover it up with a different feeling or with a different scene. The therapist just walks them through, step by step with it. And it's really very creative of the client because they sort of take control and get to do how they want it to be.
Sure.
They can rewrite their story. They'll always feel or they'll always know what happened, but they can get rid of the feeling or the trauma and the reactions that come from it.
Mm.
And a lot of times when they're doing that, it brings out something else, sort of like his issue. Yeah, he fell off the ladder. Okay, we fixed that part. Now it's, I have a scar on my leg.
Yeah.
Oh, now I have a limp. I have different things. Those all can be addressed. Mm. As long as the client's open for it and they're seeking that help, it gets addressed. So with art, it's very creative. There's so many different things it can work on, from PTSD to phobias to abuse to... You name it, it pretty much is.
I have to tell you a quick caveat. I don't know if you even know this, Robin. Well, you might, but Darren, I don't think does. So when I was trained in art over, 6 years ago, maybe, but it's been a while. And the thing that I had, and I think I've shared this maybe once before with listeners, but was I could not handle anything, quote unquote, like medically. In other words, the woman that passed out when she saw your foot, that would have been me. And normally, if a client even explained it to me,
you did tell us.
I was like, oh. And so I remember when you told me about the story, Robin, and I was coming over, and I thought, oh, let's see if this still works for me. Even today, when you said it, I was like, ooh, am I going to have that feeling? Because I could pass out when I even thought of something that clients had. And Lainey, who's the founder of art, said to me, she was like, well, that affects your job. How can you not listen to people? I was like, well, I feel sick the rest of the day is what I used to do. And so I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. How am I going to feel? And it didn't faze me at all. In fact,
so interesting. I got to point this out here. Interesting. He's got his thing. You've got your thing. You're the therapist. He's the client. Like, we're all carrying stuff, aren't we? I mean, that's really what this all comes down to, is that we're all carrying stuff. And this has a benefit to everyone. And we just are always amazed at the way that our unconscious minds work and process things and just the knowledge that we know now. I mean, I'm so thankful for what we know now and how we're able to work with people in an effective way.
And when we talk about the unconscious mind, one of the things that Darren just said is, it makes me feel like less of a man.
Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
Not only that, they took both my legs. They took parts of my left leg and took the whole bone out of my left leg, my tibia, was it?
The fibula.
Fibula. And rebuilt my right leg with it. So now that, so both legs are really been an issue with soreness. Every morning I'm in pain. I just push through it. I'm just thankful that I have my leg. So, and I'm thankful that, even though I have this limp, I'm still thankful that I have my leg.
Yeah. And you're back on the job and
So I'm back working now.
Yeah.
I just recently went back to work just about 2 months ago?
A couple months ago. So it was about 2 months, 2 years after the accident.
Yeah.
Then he finally, started back with small jobs and so forth.
And so you can imagine all of the limiting beliefs and limiting decisions that you make in a matter of 2 years when you can't, this limp, I'm going to be forever changed. Nope. This isn't going to be who I am. And so you deal with other things, and that's what you're working with Jim with,
Yeah.
Deal with all the other stuff
The other things that come from trauma, because, like you alluded to it earlier, that we try to say, we do art and life is perfect, or we do whatever technique and life. No, we don't think life is perfect, but it does start to change how you feel. Obviously, nightmares. I mean, that if you cannot sleep, that is the one thing. Yep. When you asked about a quick summary of art,
you're talking about non-functionality. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Every single client they've ever had, with the exception of one, slept better after art. And I laugh because Jeff knows that story. But anyway, but everyone always sleeps better after we do memory consolidation.
They feel very calm. So calms them. They can come in all antsy and then they're just like, wow, I just feel so calm.
One client actually told me he felt like he had just had a massage, and I do not touch my clients. It's COVID day, so I don't touch them anyway. But it was so funny. I was like, really? That's cool. No, but
can you imagine that business, the touchless massage business? I see a lot of money coming in here. Yeah. In COVID times, that's a lucrative dealing. Yeah.
Just follow my hand. That's right. And we'll take care of that.
But one of the things I wanted to point out is, so when we have a trauma or whatever, anything that happens to us, and we come up with a decision. So like for you, Darren, gosh, I'm not the same man I was. Well, no, now you're a man of steel. That's what we like to say, right?
It's literally because I've got plates, and I've actually had went into surgery, and they put plates in, and they failed. I somehow bent all the plates that was in my foot, so they had to take them out.
Like, that's impressive. That is impressive. How do you bend the plates? Well, I'm trying
to
figure out
what happens to Darren when he goes through the where they make you take off your shoes if you get on an airplane or something like that. That ain't going to help you a whole lot, is it? Right?
No,
you know,
not at all. We've been through that.
Get X-rayed and they see the rod.
I mean, I know as much as a nuisance that is, but you are a man of steel, and that's got to make some fun stories.
Well, and you know, I say you're a man of steel, but I do think when you start learning, you know, when you have a trauma, you also then have to deal with your other stuff. Right? Yep. Any other decisions you've made, like, oh, I don't want to speak in front of people was one thing, right? You're doing amazing, actually. It's so amazing you can tell the story right now. I'm not going to ever be who I was. Maybe it can be more, right? Because now you've dealt with the emotions and been real. You've had to be real with yourself. And so you can be more. You can be, I don't think anybody wishes for a trauma. In fact, I know no one wishes for a trauma. But after you've had a trauma and you've gone through these kind of memory consolidation, I do think your brain does become stronger and you become more aware of other people around you. Like you said earlier, hey, I want to share my story because this might help somebody else to share theirs.
Right.
Because we all have our stuff, right? So I really appreciate that you're telling your story. And I do think that as you continue to work with Jim, and I think we're going to have Jim come on another episode.
Yeah.
To talk with you. But as you continue working in the gym, some of those other things that you come up with or you sit with and you say them to yourselves over and over when you're healing from something, we tend to say that to ourselves, oh, my life's never going to get better. I mean, all the things we say, and they're not healthy to say those things to yourself, but we do. We all do it. But we can work on those with art too and changing those thinking patterns. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think with art, like, oh, it's just for trauma. But it's not. It's for lots of different things. So I just wanted to mention that because I know you've been working with Jim on some of those things.
Yeah, because it definitely pulled out, you know, other stuff has come from it, you know, like he said, less of a man or not being able to work and do everything I used to do. And it's like, it doesn't matter. You're alive. You have your leg.
That's right.
There's other things you can do. And you still can do your painting job. And you still can do the work that you do. You just have to do it a little differently.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the fear is gone of not being able to get near the ladder and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely think it has helped from that. And now working towards the other things that have come from it, you know, will help. And that's why I think the biggest thing is people need to know is, it's okay to have therapy.
Yeah.
You know, don't hold all that fear and all those things inside. It's okay. It doesn't make you less of a person because you need to go look for a therapist.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely will help. But like she said, with art, you know, helps with so many different things. You know, I've heard from people that fear of ladders, fear of elevators. Hmm. You know, we had somebody from September 11th. Couldn't go near. Now they're back down in New York doing their thing. Mm. You know, a young girl was headed to the doctor's office and all the way there. Okay, we're not going to the ladder. Make sure you park over here. We're going to take the stairs. Da, 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 da. They did an art session. She got out of the car. She did the same ritual. Okay, we're going to take the stairs. We're going to do this. She walked in the front lobby. She got in the elevator. She went upstairs to her doctor's appointment. Her mother goes, you just got on an elevator. So even things like most of us would think, oh, that's just something small.
Yeah.
They can do it.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, frogs. Yep. Oh, I can't stand frogs. And I love to go walking in the, you know, on the trails, da, 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 da. They have an art session. They go to the pet store. They pick up a frog.
Oh, I just remember. You know who we need to get on the podcast?
Who's that?
Somebody who did. In fact, I have a picture. I sent the picture. She was afraid of grates. Walking on the grates, in the road. And in fact, I'm going to call her today. But yeah, she was afraid of grates. And we did did an art session and she was fine. So and she's amazing, a therapist. Yeah.
The different things, snakes. I mean, just the littlest things to major stuff.
I don't want to clear that. I have snake issues. I don't want to clear that. All right. I have
secondary but it does. It's unbelievable. This one lady, same thing. Yeah. And all of a sudden she was on a boat and the snake was there and she was within a foot distance of it. Where normally she'd have been running for the hills and jumping in the water and so forth. So it's just, you know, where some of us think, oh, that's the slightest little thing, but it's big to most people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just amazing how it really does make a difference in so many different things.
I'm having horrific memories of being at Gatorland where they brought out the 8-foot boa constrictor and like, hey, everybody hold your eyes closed. And it was like four of us in a row. I would always get volunteered for this. And then they stick, and of course I'm at the end where the mouth is, you know, things like it's harmless, but it's like licking me. I'm like, ah, get away from me, you know, crazy thing. So Darren, I want to thank you for telling your story. You're based here in Central Florida, right?
Yes.
You looking for work, man? If there's an audience member out there that's listening locally, how can they find somebody like you? Is there a way to get in contact with you business-wise?
Sure. Most of my work's word of mouth, but most of all, if you want to reach out to me, 748-7696, people.
407, right?
407-748-7696 or Pickett's Painting at AOL.com.
I love it. He's got the AOL address. I love it. See, that's all the reason right there. So you can send a, you know, what, a You Got Mail?
You can still get the You Got Mail sound?
That's awesome. Yes, so we do. Cool. Well, for the
I'm a dinosaur.
Does it really still say that? Does it say You Got Mail?
It does. It's classic. That's why you keep it. He's trained. He's like Pavlov's dog. He hears that and something happens. It's crazy. Well, for the audience out there, I'm always thankful for your support. And of course, you know, support Darren, support the work of what he's doing, and just I love that you're back in the game basically doing your thing. And then, you know, Carrie and Robin, for anybody that's out there that's looking for an art therapist or anybody doing memory reconsolidation techniques, I mean, you know, you can always reach out to Life After PTSD.
If you want to be trained
or you want to be trained, there you go. You know,
in art, you can go to artworksnow.com. Training schedule is there for those looking for a therapist. Sure. There's a find a therapist link on there as well. You put in your zip code, it'll bring you up.
It's awesome.
To any therapist in your area.
It's awesome. And we have a lot of therapists that listen to the show for sure. We know that. So, you know, that's here. There's a message for you guys. But, you know, for the rest of you, you know how to contact us through Instagram, Facebook, info@lifeafterptsd.org. Lots of ways to get in touch. We appreciate your support. Make sure you subscribe. We'd love for you to leave a positive review on iTunes. It really helps kind of just make the show more visible. We feel like more people need to hear stories like Darren's. And we'll do what we always do. And we'll see you next Monday for a new episode of Life After PTSD. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for letting me share my story.
You're welcome, Darren. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Darren.
To learn more about our work, visit lifeafterptsd.org. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to support the show, give us a 5-star review and share it with your tribe. Become a patron at patreon.com/lifeafterptsd. Life After PTSD is produced by Jeff McLaughlin. For production inquiries or to sponsor the show, email info@lifeafterptsd.org.